It's the download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Steve Gadlin's in the house. He will be here at 10 o'clock for his regular segment, The Frying Pan. A crowd favorite. He comes up with such great ideas, and Download Nation just strikes it down. So that's tonight, coming up at 10 o'clock. Also in the 9 o'clock hour, R&B sensation Jeremiah. He's from Chicago. He's from Morgan Park High School. He was in the marching band there. Jeremiah is one of the biggest R&B stars. He's on all, I mean, he's probably, I would say, one of the most popular people we've ever had on the show.
Wow.
In the sense of following and Billboard hits and number one hits and things like that. He's headlining on Sunday, and he's going to be calling in from the UK.
Yeah, but he's got to follow us.
He does have to follow.
He's screwed.
Yeah, he's screwed.
He's totally screwed.
The new season of Wild Travels is underway. It's airing on WTTW, Channel 11, Saturdays at 4:30 p.m. and Sundays at 11. If the name seems somewhat familiar, it's because this show is a cousin to the original Wild Chicago, which aired on Channel 11 throughout the 90s, 1989 to 2003. In studio with me tonight, two of the men behind Wild Travels, reunited again, Will Klinger, who's the host, and executive producer Harvey Moshman. Together, they have dedicated decades of their lives to the wild, the offbeat, and the unusual, and they're in studio tonight at the big table. Will, Harvey, good to see you guys.
Wow, that was great. That's on my tombstone. I can die happy now.
The wild, offbeat, and unusual. What, I mean, for both of you guys to get back in, I mean, this is season two of Wild Travels, but right. as we talk about why resurrect it, why take Wild Chicago to a national level?
Because there's wildness all over this great country of ours that needs to be exposed and appreciated. You know, God knows we've come across some great stuff in Chicago, and you know, we've been pretty fortunate across America too. We've gotten some very, very cool stuff, and you know what? I kind of think of our show with the current events that are going on. I kind of think of our show as a palate cleanser for all the awful crap that's going on in America right now, because it's people that are, you know, real quirky, interesting people doing, yeah, you know, cool things. Nothing. There's nothing negative about it, is there?
Well, I mean, yeah.
No, I don't think negative.
You're looking
is
at me worse. Like I'm way too sentimental, Harvey.
I mean, you went right there. I mean, come on, we got an hour here. Okay.
I peaked too early?
I think you did. Well, we got back in the saddle and did the show again, mostly because we were bored, I think.
Yeah.
It had been 10 years or more when Will said, hey, why don't we do this again? And I was working, you know, a daily news job, and I said, yeah, I want to do something different again. So rather than it be a TTW show, it's which they own Wild Chicago, we own Wild Travels, we pitched it to public television first as an international travel show. And they said, you know, everybody wants to be the next Rick Steves. Why don't you guys stay in the United States? And I said, fine, that was great. And they encouraged us. And you know, if we ever make the big leap, we have distribution already lined up.
That's obviously, it's a no-brainer in the sense that it's a national show and it focuses national. You guys have made your name in Chicago. I mean, people know Wild Chicago as one of the, I mean, if legendary local programs. I mean, it's a program that when it was pulled off the air, there were petitions and people were angry. Maybe not. I mean, that's how I remember it. I mean, it was sort of like
there was
bring
riot.
Back.
Somebody rang my doorbell and ran, but yeah, that's about it.
But I mean, you guys obviously, you know, made your mark here in Chicago. I mean, for you, you know, you still produce it here in Chicago. I mean, it's obviously a national show. But what does Chicago mean to Wild Travels?
Well, honestly, we decided not to do any stories in Chicago, at least for the near term. There's a couple reasons for that, but not the least of which is when we did Wild Chicago, we did about 1,000 stories
right
here. And, you know, we beat that drum. And, you know, we wanted to stretch and get out and discover, you know, quirky Americana all around the country.
Well, let me ask you, Harvey, what's on, I mean, you got an episode coming up this weekend.
We do.
When you talk about quirky Americana, what do you guys talk, what's featured in this episode?
Well, with a capital G, Gatorland, it's one of the oldest roadside attractions in Florida. Been there since the
40s. It's been around since the 40s.
Yeah.
And they've got, what is it, 1,500 gators and crocs walking around. And
a real character who runs the place. And, Mark McHugh. Yeah.
And I learned something kind of important. If you're running away, if you're being chased by an alligator, you know, some people say, you know, serpentine, you know, zig and zag. Don't zig and zag. They've got peripheral vision that's good, but straight ahead, they don't see very well. So run straight. Or as this guy that guided us around told us, trip your friend and you can walk away.
Let's hear a clip from Wild Travels.
The Florida state reptile must surely be the alligator, and the biggest concentration of the species can be found at Gatorland in Orlando. We got up close and personal with the star attractions and are pleased to say that we came away with all of our extremities and a newfound respect for these grinning gargantuans.
Hey, Mark McHugh.
Hey, Will, how you doing? We're the alligator capital of the world.
And proud of it.
Proud of it.
Is this safe, Mark? We're a little close.
Define safe. We'll teach them not to come past these lines that you see in the sand.
What if we went across that line?
You would get eaten.
Okay.
That's the line of safety. Line of death if you're on that side. Line of safety if you're on this side.
Oh. Mark, be honest with me. Have you ever had one of these things escape?
Not that we admit. This is actually a leucistic alligator. It's different from an albino. They have blue eyes instead of pink eyes. Cajun folklore says good fortune comes to those lucky enough to stare into the blue eyes of the white alligator. That's cool, isn't it? We made that up. But hey, man, it works. It works.
There you go. A clip from Wild Travels, the show brought to you by Will Klinger and Harvey Moshman. It's Saturdays at 4:30 and Sundays at 11 on Channel 11, WTTW. But yeah, I mean, there's something great. I mean, you could feel the spirit. The one thing about this is it is a new show, but it still has that sort of that same spirit and energy that Wild Chicago had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we try to draw that out. And, you know, we try to draw people out and we never make fun of people. We always have fun with them. You know, we make a point of, we're just curious about what they're doing. We try not to make any kind of judgment on, you know.
Right. And then, but, you know, calling around, you call the Gatorland phone number and you hear that guy and he does like about a 3-minute explanation of what's going on at Gatorland. And it's a little bit bigeted. Would we say that?
Bigoted? I don't
prejudice
know. Just
sounding?
Really stereotypical.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, Gator, you come on down to Gatorland. You sit, you know, he really lays on the thick accent.
Oh, he does.
And so we knew we had some gold there. So we that was the first stop on our Florida trip.
Well, I mean, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about what you're looking for, because there's obviously the, the place, Gatorland. But as you just mentioned, I mean, there has to be characters. There has to be some sort of storyline and connection when you're putting together Wild Travels. So we'll talk about that coming up. Harvey Moshman,
sure.
Will Klinger in studio. The show Wild Travels is Saturdays at 4:30 and Sundays at 11 on WTTW. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with till 11 o'clock tonight. My guest at the big table, Harvey Moshman, Will Klinger, the guys behind Wild Travels, the new national show that is in the same vein as Wild Chicago, the legendary show that aired here in Chicago from 1989 to 2003. It's season 2 of Wild Travels, but you guys are back. You know, before the break, I mentioned that it's not just about the unique, crazy idea, finding a place called Gatorland. And there's a lot that goes into making a segment of Wild Travels work. What's the secret?
Well, taking Gatorland for an example, had we gone there and it just been tons of alligators, it wouldn't have been a good story. I mean, we're really not interested in wildlife, despite the name. what sold it to us was clearly Mark McHugh, the man who runs the place, who you heard in that clip. You know, he's a plug and play kind of guy. You just turn him on and he takes you there. And obviously he's had media training and he knows what he's doing.
And in a weird way, he becomes this sort of eccentric character that fits right in where, I mean, he's doing the act and you're like, and as a, almost being able to pull back, you're like, it's kind of wild. This guy does this act.
Yeah. He brings the funny. We were just straight men for him.
Yeah. And which applies to sort of another piece that's going to be airing this coming weekend. This guy, Randy Land, he turned a whole city block in Pittsburgh into his own art exposition. It looks like a rainbow took a crap on a block in Pittsburgh. I swear to God, there's just color everywhere. It's a lot of it's salvage, where he finds this stuff and paints it and puts in his thing. And That would have been enough. Probably would have been enough. But then this guy, oh my God, I didn't have to. I was basically a human microphone holder, you know, because this guy.
I mean, do you guys know that? I mean, how much pre-interviewing and production, pre-production do you do to make sure that a guy like this guy here or the guy from Gatorland is going to give you the character before you invest in going down and doing the shoot?
Well, I interview everybody on the phone first, and you know, then I look for other clips on YouTube and what other people have done. You know, we didn't have that luxury when we were doing Wild Chicago, so we would visit everybody, you know, before we went out to do a shoot. But since we have so much travel involved, it really that phone interview is pretty important. And that, and occasionally, you know, you say, "Oh, this guy's a zero. You know, this is not worth going all the way there for that." But you know. I think we have a pretty good instinct to know what to look for.
Does your
in the
experience
first place.
Kind of comes into play here? That's the beauty of having all that Wild Chicago under your belt. Because even if you do run across a dud, quote unquote, it feels like, Will, with your skills as an interviewer and as an improviser and an actor, that you know how to kind of draw it out.
Yeah, I like to think I can. But if I have to bring all the funny, you know, if this other person is like a dead weight, It's not going to be a good piece. It's going to look like me trying too hard. So it's so great when I get that give and take. I'm sure you experienced that with this show. You know, when you got a guest that's got some vim and vigor, you know, thank God for that. And boy, did Randy have, he brought it, didn't he?
Oh, Randy brought it. But
he's got two different colored eyes and dyed blonde hair and talks a mile a minute. I mean,
And he's, you'll hear in the piece. I mean, this was a real down and out neighborhood, and he bought
two buildings.
He bought two
on
buildings.
On a credit card.
On a credit card. $10,000. He bought this building. And he's a waiter. And he makes, as he says, he makes like 50 bucks a day. And he, you know, further extended himself financially to buy these buildings. And this is really quite a sight to see in Pittsburgh.
All right. Let's hear a piece, a clip from Randy. And it's called Randyland.
Right.
Randyland.
Randy Gilson has taken a city block on the north side of Pittsburgh and turned it into his own outdoor art installation. But even with all the colorful creations that populate his land, the main attraction turns out to be Randy himself. Hey, you would be Randy.
Yeah,
and
hi.
This is your land.
Yes, it is.
What inspired you to create this Randy land anyway?
I got a phone call. Hey, Randy, you want to buy a building? And I thought, oh, I said, Donna, I don't have no money. I'm busted broke. I'm a waiter. I only make 50 bucks a day, but I like to look at buildings. So I came up with my flashlight and I screamed up the steps. Hey, is anybody in there? Please don't kill me. I'm just looking at the building. I bought this building. Are you ready for this? $10,000 on the credit card. Nice. I'm a scavenger kind of. I can smell it. I can taste it. I can see it. I can feel it.
I don't like the way you're looking at me. You gotta start painting me.
30 years ago, everybody looked at me and shook their heads and said, that guy's a little crazy. He's not normal. I don't know if he's good for the community. People would call the police on me. Oh, yeah. A lot of people think I'm from somewhere else. And I do talk quite fast, so because it's my heart escaping. See, my mouth.
See, you can hear it.
Mouth.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Randy is a good guest here. Yeah. That's a clip from Wild Travels, which you can hear Saturday at 4:30 and Sunday at 11 p.m. This is season 2 of Wild Travels on Channel 11, WTTW. Now, what's interesting is that and the Gator, they're both on the episode that's coming up.
Right.
So that's like preview, so now you can put two and two together. You can see what Randy looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. Quintessential Wild Travels.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. We live for this kind of a guy.
Well, okay, so what I would love, I mean, the show, what I've always tried to understand about Wild Chicago is that it is about the eccentric. It is about the wild and the offbeat. And there was something that was very DIY and very independent about it, meaning you were going to places that we didn't always hear about, that we didn't know about. It wasn't your sort of quintessential, let's go to Wiener Circle and talk to the guys who yell, or, you know, that yell at you. I mean, there was really some depth and there was some respect to the fact that there is a Wild Chicago. Is that the same concept as Wild Travels?
Absolutely. It's just we put a lot more miles, before we get back to edit. We still always look for some genuineness and some
authenticity.
Thank you.
Another good word.
Yeah. There are occasionally times we run into people who are just, you know, faking it, and it comes through right away, and we either end up not running that or editing it down, you know, Very short.
Trying too hard. Yeah. I remember when we were still doing Wild Chicago, there was a hypnotherapist that really, I think we got snowed by that one. Yeah. I think he had a bunch of plants, you know, and he was, raise your arm, and these people would go like this, and, you know. And, come on, pal.
Yeah.
We did air that, but you can see the real sarcasm in some of my questions. You could see I wasn't buying this at all. And that's one of the few occasions where maybe I copped a little bit of an attitude.
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry.
Let's talk about your attitude when it comes to the show. What I like about the show is that it's consistent in the way you approach every segment. There's almost some shots, and you see it in Wild Travels as well as Wild Chicago. The shots of the return of Will running up to the door. The running up with the microphone to the guy and says, "My name is Randy." You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. There's an element that, you know, regardless of what happens before that, that you're discovering at the same time we are. Yeah. What's the philosophy behind the concept of little things like that where you're running up to the door or you're running up to the people? Why do it that way? What's it about Harvey and Will that you continue to work in that form?
Well, the run-up is distinctive. Hardly anybody does that. And, you know, it's sort of a way of branding the piece, other than the microphone cube, which says Wild Travels. You know, the viewer looks at it and goes, well, what's the hurry? What's going on? You know, there's something about it that you want to...
That's an urgency.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You want to anticipate something about
the... Gets us off to a running start. Yeah. But also, I mean, when Wild Chicago first started out, we literally were, you know, sometimes driving by in a van and saying, hey, that looks kind of cool. And we'd jump out of the van and just run in there without even telling these people that we were going to show up. You know, that doesn't happen with Wild Travels, of course, because we're traveling across the country. We're going to let these people know that, you know, make sure that they're there. You know,
but you guys have spent decades in television, putting together television shows, travel shows. Even Wild Chicago is really a travel show, but it's in Chicago. How important are things like immediacy and urgency?
Oh, absolutely important. You know, in the oldest days, before Will was involved in the show even, we were shooting on 3/4-inch tape. So the cassettes were 20 minutes long. And the rule was when the tape ran out, we were done. So that was one of the reasons we got out and started running because, you know, we only had 20 minutes. So
see, that's great. So even like the as that continues past the point of 3/4-inch tape and the whole bit, that you could tell that's the legend of Wild
Chicago.
That's how it
started.
It survives to this day.
It's like evolution. It's weird. It's like why we have thumbs.
Opposable thumbs.
My guests in studio, Will Klinger and Harvey Moshman. They're the guys behind Wild Travels. You can check out the show Saturdays at 4:30, Sundays at 11 on WTTW Channel 11 here in Chicago. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get the update on tonight's news. We'll come back, and I'd love to continue the conversation about what makes great TV, especially great TV on a shoestring budget. And you guys, I mean, we just start to scratch the surface when we talk about immediacy and what role that plays and sort of go into things that you know, like that sort of moment of discovery. So there's things we'll talk about when you're sort of putting a story together and putting an episode of Wild Chicago or Wild Travels together. Harvey and Will here on The Download. Stay with us. This Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, Harvey Moshman and Will Klinger. They're my guests at the big table. Two local TV icons. They did Wild Chicago for a long time, 1989 to 2003. They're back with the second season of Wild Travels, which is kind of like the older brother of Wild Chicago. Saturdays at 4:30, Sundays at 11. On Channel 11 WTTW. They're in studio. You know, we kind of talked right before the news about the concepts that make good TV. And one of the things that I kind of teased out was, you know, what makes good local TV? And then there's a difference, and the difference is usually budget. Let's be honest about that. But Chicago, for years, has had a real strong local production tie, whether it be Bozo or even a Channel 11 making a lot of shows. Talk about what it takes to make a vibrant local television show.
Harvey?
Vibrant?
First, defer.
Well, you know, you can't put too fine a point on the fact that TTW gave us a pretty long leash when we were making Wild Chicago to to do whatever we wanted. I mean, we had a very small budget, and I was on staff, so that, you know, they didn't have to pay me. Of course, we paid Will. We paid for music, and we paid for overtime. But beyond that, there wasn't much out of pocket in making the show. So we thrived there for 13 years. And, you know, all good things come to an end. And we were only slightly sad to hang it up. And, right?
Well, you know, we have a lot. Can I say that we've got less freedom than we had back then for this show? I mean, we couldn't air a piece about a vegan strip club. Never reached the. You wonder what a vegan strip club is? The strippers don't wear meat. It's a weird. But
it's a web extra, so you can go to our website.
Well,
and see
I mean,
that.
for Will, when you got involved in Wild Chicago, you know, as a host, and what take us back to that time, like what as an actor in town, as a comedian, what did you expect? What were the expectations for that show? And what did you get when you did the show?
My expectations were that I was going to get to just wing it in front of a camera and meet a lot of cool, interesting people and go to a lot of interesting, bizarre places. And it pretty much lived up to that and, you know, never turned back. I mean, I think the very first segment I shot was at it was the pinball place. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to do this job. I didn't know if I was going to be, you know, up to the task. And we're walking down this hallway, and we're along this long hallway. We keep it. How long have you been doing this? Have you been in business? How many? Finally, I said, how long is this damn hallway? And then I knew, man, I think I can do this because we'd been walking for 10 minutes.
How much do you put into prep? I mean, when you're doing a segment like that, how much before you get to the business and to the segment are you prepared for it?
I will write down on a piece of paper just some questions that I know I need to cover. This is just baseline stuff that we got to get it in there. Even if we don't end up using it, it would be nice to have this information. But for the most part, we're going in there with cameras rolling, and I'm kind of playing off whatever they're giving me. And that's where the improv, you know, background comes in, you know, and I'm sure your improv background comes very useful at times. But yeah, it's fly by the seat of your pants most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, I'll occasionally check my notes and say, did I cover that? Yeah, I think I asked that one, you know, but mostly it's just, you know.
Harvey, for you, I mean, back to the local TV stuff. I mean, as someone who's worked in local television and has done stuff here and other shops in Chicago, are you familiar? Do you pay attention to the history of the local television production landscape when you think of some of the stuff that was happening here in Chicago in decades and decades ago?
Well, I didn't grow up here, so I don't have much of a institutional knowledge before the 70s. Though my wife grew up here, and I'm clearly very well versed in the Bozo history. But nonetheless, yeah, I've worked in local television here for about 30 years. So, you know, I've seen what other people are doing. And, you know, clearly we were unique when we were on Wild Chicago. And, you know, we're pretty much doing the same thing now, just changing the address.
For you, I mean, you know, we go back to what makes a great local show. Yeah. Do you find that the local landscape for TV here are open to shows like Wild Chicago, that they want to take shots, they want to try risks to do things that are out of the norm? Or is it, you know, a big city, it's Chicago, and there's a lot of money to be made, and they kind of go with the formula and the format down the line?
Making local television is not a way to make money. I mean, it's sure, news and sports, yeah, but an entertainment program, no, you can't make any money doing that.
Well, what do you think? I mean, you've obviously been a host here in Chicago. Like, when you think about the success of both Wild Chicago and now Wild Travels, I mean, is that going against the grain?
I think so. I mean, look at the landscape. How many original shows are being done in Chicago? GTW used to have a lot of original programming. Now they've got Chicago Tonight, Check Please, and Jay Shefsky's. Is there anything else besides us?
I'd have to think.
You know, and the other stations, they can make more money doing the syndication route. You know, they don't do too much. If they do a local program, it's to showcase one of their talents, and it's a money loser. They're just showcasing.
Just a marketing thing instead of
right. Yeah. Right. So I wish I was more optimistic about
Well, yeah. Well, then why? I mean, at the end of the day, then why was Wild Chicago successful? I mean, everything you said is so pessimistic about it. But
well,
why was that show?
Virtually everybody was on staff, other than Will as the talent, and it didn't cost anything to make the show. And it was started on the premise that it would cost absolutely nothing to make. And at the time. When it was first launched, I was originally the editor of the program, and we made 4 episodes before it got a green light to finish out a 13-show season. So, it was a difficult birth, but, it grew up to be a teenager, at least, in the program.
Yeah, it was the highest-rated show on Channel
1. At times, locally, it was the highest-rated locally produced show
right.
at times.
I mean, Antiques Roadshow. I mean, it was
I'm talking about locally produced. Locally produced.
No, I will say
with
this,
me in
I
it.
I mean, Masterpiece
right.
Theater.
Yeah.
Come on. Now.
When we did some road shows, in the earlier years of Wild Chicago. In fact, the one we did to Las Vegas, the highest rated Wild Chicago episode ever. Second was the one we did to the Wisconsin Dells.
But aren't both of those are kind of wild cheating? In a way, because they're going to be wild. They're going to be wild. One of the great things about Wild Chicago and Wild Travels is that you're going to places like in Chicago. And you're like, oh, I didn't know this was even here. You go to Las Vegas, you're like, yeah, everyone knows it. That stuff is there, right?
Yeah, well, but we didn't do any casinos or any gambling whatsoever. We stayed completely off the strip.
We found the weird underbelly of Vegas, if that's possible.
If that's possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Harvey Moshman, Will Klinger in studio with me tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about Wild Travel. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman, Will Klinger, Harvey Moshman in studio, the guys behind Wild Travels. All right, so, I as we wrap up here, we get in our last segment. I'm for you guys, I mean, to be able to put together the segments that you have, and continuing to do this, not only in Chicago, but now nationally. I mean, and I asked this a little bit earlier about what's the secret. I mean, obviously character plays a big role. Also, we talked about immediacy and the urgency of it. What have I missed? What else makes a great Wild Travels, Wild Chicago segment?
The name. you can't go wrong with a roadside attraction called Rock in the House. Now, this is not House on the Rock. This is Rock in the House.
All right.
In Fountain City, Wisconsin, a 55-ton boulder rolled down a hill into the living room or the bedroom of this home.
No one was hurt.
And a very sharp real estate agent said, I'm buying that house and turning it into a tourist attraction. And there it is. You pay $2 on the honor system.
This is not House on the Rock.
This is not House on the Rock.
This is Rock in the friggin' house.
And it's perfect. The name says it all. And another one, which we happen to have a clip of, I believe, is Mike the Headless Chicken Festival, which has been going on in the little town.
That's a no-brainer. You know what I'm saying?
No, in Fruta, Colorado for many, many years. And if you'd like to
Pete, do we have that?
Yeah.
Let's... Here we go.
Of the many festivals we attend, none has a more objectionable premise than the one held annually in Fruta, Colorado, celebrating a barnyard accident that occurred decades ago.
Mike the Headless Chicken Festival started back in 1999 in a way to honor the will to live of Mike... the infamous chicken who lived for 18 months after his head was cut off.
My grandfather would cut the heads off and flip them over there, let them bleed out. My grandmother would start, do the cleaning, and then when he got done killing, he'd help her clean. They got down to the last one. They still had one alive, and he figured he'd see if it lived till morning. And it did. So the next day, started showing people the chicken, and everybody thought it was interesting. And then a gentleman from Salt Lake, he was in the business of doing sideshows, and he convinced my grandparents that they ought to start on the sideshow circuit. When my grandfather cut the head off, he either missed or whacked a little high, and he left the base of the brain stem and one eardrum. I still own the famous axe that decapitated Mike got it hung up on the wall of my shop out at the farm.
There's something great about the audio
Mike
of this.
Mike achieved considerable notoriety.
You know, like, this is kind of fun. Like, we could do a Mystery Science Theater to your own stuff. Will Klinger and Harvey Moshman in studio. That's a clip from Wild Travels, which you can hear or see Saturdays at 4:30 and Sundays at 11 on Channel 11 and WTTW. You know, you guys have an unbelievable opportunity to see a different side of Chicago. I mean, when you stringed what you did for 13 years, and even with Wild Travels, you'd avoid Chicago. But for Chicago, you've seen the underbelly, as you mentioned with Las Vegas. You've seen the offbeat. You've seen a different cultures that don't necessarily get a lot of media around it. Has that changed the way you look at the city?
Well, when we first started shooting the show, if they had any kind of PR or an agent or promotion of any kind, they were immediately disqualified. We would not do anybody that we would find out about. So, I think it's pretty common knowledge that this is a very spirited city, and people have a tremendous pride in what they do here, and it shows through immediately when we do stories here in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, doing that show for 11, I did it for 11 years, it kind of rejuvenated my faith in humanity, for God's sake, if that's not too much. Here, I'm getting sentimental again.
No, I like it. It's just like a full circle.
But it really kind of raised my appreciation of just people in general, that there's people out there that are really, you know, authentic people doing stuff that they're interested in and, you know.
Living life off the beaten path.
Who cares about what's happening in Turkey when you got a headless chicken festival going on? You know what I'm saying?
Really. But I mean, that I agree with you in the sense that when you watch a Wild Chicago or Wild Travels, there is, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, the positivity to it. You know, you're not making fun of this. You're really kind of celebrating.
We're encouraging it.
Yeah, you're encouraging it. You're celebrating this part of life that a lot of times gets pushed to the side or marginalized or just ignored. And that's, I think, what the missing ingredient that makes Wild Chicago and Wild Travel special, and why we don't see it everywhere else, even with travel shows, is that there is there seems to be a passion in both of your parts, and the people and the cameraman and everything that
our cameraman Dave Seaman.
There seems to be a passion in sort of looking for that and being a part of that, or at least showcasing that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's why we do it. Really.
I mean, absolutely. The single most gratifying part of doing this program is all the people we get to meet. You can't help just feeling better after meeting Randy Gilson in Pittsburgh. Has such a terrific outlook on life, and it's a pleasure to meet them. And you know, we wouldn't have this opportunity if we didn't have a TV show. It's just that simple.
You know, some questions coming in. 847 wants to know about the music for both Wild Chicago and Wild Travels. You mentioned that that's what you paid for. Who does the music?
Well, the music for Wild Chicago was in large part done by Roger Adler, who is still doing music, and he lives in the northern suburbs. The APM Music Library is who I pay no small sum to to license music for the show. Okay. And it's a terrific library, and it's great to have that.
Well, the texts that are coming in, I mean, it kind of warms the heart a little bit, because people have said the same thing about you guys. I love these guys. I've always loved Wild Chicago. Keep doing what you do. It's a rare style. It's a treasure. You don't see this anywhere else. I mean, that is, and there's something about the fact that this is produced and Wild Travels going national, there's a pride in it for Chicagoans, because we know it's the same guys who did a show that was uniquely Chicago.
Right. And you know, we still have dreams and hopes of taking the show to a national audience. But if not, you know, hey, our audience in Chicago and the Midwest that within the reach of WTTW, if they're happy, if you folks are happy, we'll keep doing it, darn it. Praise Jesus.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Let's take it down.
Hold it now.
Holy. Well, we did a drive-in church in Florida, now that you mentioned.
Drive-in church.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you never have to get out of your car.
On a Sunday morning in Daytona Beach, there were 150, 200 cars at what used to be a drive-in theater. But where the movie screen was is now the pulpit, and that's where...
And whenever they like the sermon or whatever, they honk.
They don't say amen, they honk. And they drive around to give you
Oh, you get the little, you get the little, what do you call it? The little biscuit, you know, and the little thing of grape juice.
Your, right? Your department there.
Yeah, you really, really.
I'm a Presbyterian. I don't know about this.
And the biscuit. The juice and the biscuit. You nailed it. You nailed it.
Yeah, okay. You know what I'm saying.
Juice and the biscuit.
Juice and the biscuit.
Juice and a biscuit, please. Wig and a shave.
So what do we, I mean, these seasons are kind of, they're smaller. Yes. There's six episodes.
Right.
What's the future for Wild Travels? I mean, is this the kind of thing that every year you have to get it reevaluated or look for budget? Or is it the kind of thing that it keeps going if people are watching?
We just want to decide how much money we're going to hemorrhage in making each season. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, there's no, this, as we've talked a lot about our love and passion for local TV, you did mention there is no money in entertainment programming. Is this a passion play for you guys?
Oh, absolutely.
You're not, there's no way that we're going to see a in the black kind of thing for you guys?
That all depends to any underwriters who are out there listening who would like to be a part of the most interesting travel show to be on public television in years.
Hear, hear.
Yes.
Plug yourself. Why not?
Oh, okay. We're plugging.
Yeah, good
no,
plug.
I mean,
you
that's, you know, there's several routes to go with the show. One is continue to be on public television. There's syndication. There's cable. There's internet. There's streaming. And there's all kinds
Let
of
Let me ask you both. I mean, you both have had such success with public TV. You know, Wild Chicago was on TTW for years.
Yeah.
But you both have had success in your careers outside of that network. I mean, is there a way that you could see in the way that media has kind of really exploded and the channels have opened up? Do you see a place for some of this stuff like Wild Travels that's not involved with public television?
Absolutely.
Why the heck not?
Right.
I'm all for that.
Yeah. We're evaluating all kinds of opportunities. Yes.
Such a politician.
No, it's true. Just recently Amazon opened up their Amazon Video on Demand, and Netflix is out there. There's new streaming platforms all the time. So yeah, we just need to get through this season, take a breath, and then we'll figure out what we're doing from there.
But what are some of the highlights from the shows coming up, like in the future, not the one that's tomorrow, but what are the ones that you really felt struck you?
There's a Haskell Library and Opera House in Vermont that is sitting on the border between Canada and the United States. There's literally a line right through it, so you can step right across this line and you're in Canada, you know? It's the only place where you can check out a book, see an opera, and defect to Canada on the same day. I mean, it's a pretty crazy thing, right?
Yeah, it's the only public building in the United States that's actually in two countries. And on that same theme, we were in Ybor City, which is part of Tampa, at a cigar factory where they're still making cigars the old-fashioned way. And the man who ran the factory walked us down the street and said, this Jose Marti Park, this is actually Cuban land. And it's true. There's a small park in the middle of Tampa, which is actually a foreign country.
Yeah, we need more of this, man.
We do.
We do, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Harvey Moshman, Will Klinger. Will Klinger, the host. Harvey, the executive producer. And also, it was
David Seaman, our photographer.
Photographer. He's the guy who goes...
The DP.
The shaky, wild
He's nearsighted, part of it. You know, he's getting used to it.
The show is called Wild Travels from the same producers of Wild Chicago. It's on Saturdays at 4:30 and Sundays at 11 on WTTW Channel 11. Guys, I can't thank you enough for coming in studio. Appreciate it, and good luck with the show.
Thanks
so
much.
Thanks, man.